That can't be talking about our God. Our God's a God of love. Almighty God. Can't be talking about him. Must be talking about a dead God. Our God must be dead. Because that can't be talking about our God. Fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God? What? You aren't afraid. You wouldn't mind being in God's head, would you? Precious Lord, take my hand. Come on, dear. Touch me, Lord. What? With his hand? Thing to be touched by the hand of God. Into the hands of the living God. Is our God alive? Are we always boasting about how he's alive? He's not dead? He arose? He's alive? Do you believe that? And to be in his hand, you want to be in God's hand? Oh, brother, there it doesn't mean. Oh, new, remarkable, because I'm going to talk about fear today. Knock you right off your seat. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says this. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. And in order to do that, fear God. See, we're under the impression today that love is something you feel towards somebody. All I can say, that is true. And I don't have any love. I don't feel too much towards many people. If God says love your enemy, that ain't always easy. Wives, love your husband, that ain't always easy. You go by feelings. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Or will a Christian get by without the fear of God? Start going like this. See, do you fear God? Don't shake them, yes. I'm talking about fearing God. I'm talking about fearing God. I preached this the other night in Ocala, and right smack in the middle of it, somebody got right up and walked right out. I said, there you go. No fear. And they talk right back. We ain't going to listen to you. I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. No fear at all. Right in the presence of God. And no fear. Ezekiel, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good. Somebody says, well, Brother Starr, I don't think God really means for us to be afraid of him. Well, let's just hold on to it, all right? See what I can back that up. See, we don't have any fear. We're not afraid here this afternoon. I don't feel no fear here. Oh, we're comfortable. We're relaxed in the presence of God. And that's the way we worship God today. Aren't we supposed to be like that? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Fear not them which kill the body. Now, that's the one we're afraid of. Oh, we get something wrong with our body and we'll get scared that death, boy, and we'll start making amends and changing our lives but to get something, get our body well. They're not able to kill a soul, but rather fear him, God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10, verse 28. Even what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Somebody said, well, Brother Starr, you're not talking about church now, are you?
It's talking about the world.
No, I'm talking about the people of God who have caused God great anger and great discouragement and disgust. Paul, writing about these people to whom the covenant was made, to whom the promises were given, to whom the blessings were extended. They have no fear of God before their eyes. If anybody ought to fear God, it ought to be us who have realized that only His grace could remove our sins as despicable as they were. 1434, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Just morally on Scripture. Till the old prophets of old, when they saw the conditions of the people of God, one of them cried out here, and I think it's in Psalms 12, I think it was David cried, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases." Can't find a godly man. You remember years ago when we would say about a devout religious person, they fear God. When's the last time I heard somebody say that about anybody? Why do you pray? I'm afraid if I don't, God gonna get me. Why do you pay tithes? I don't. Why do you go to church? Oh, I don't need to go to church. Don't have to go to church to serve the Lord. My father used to say to me when I was a young boy, "You better be in the house 10 o'clock, boy. You better get home." That's what God said to you. Get to the house of God. Come on home. Do it. As the night time falls, as the evil day approaches, forsake not. I don't want to catch you out after dark, boy. Running the streets, you get home. I don't need you taking off a couple nights a week, church. Get in the house of God. The wolf out there gonna get you if you run them streets. But we don't fear God. Take our chance with the wolf. Psalms 12, verse 8, the wicked walks on every side. Pious men are exalted. That's what we do in America. We take the crooked preachers, crooked politicians, and we exalt them. That's what we do. We take a preacher as a crook. I've seen them do it for years. From untold sums of money. When the wicked man walks on every side, when the vilest men are exalted, see wickedness everywhere. Our society honors the wicked, honors the ungodly. And even our preachers today, and I'm going slow because she keeps telling me I always go too fast. And I've made this tape once, and I don't want to do it again. So I'm going to get it on tape. As soon as I can, I'm going to be on a large radio station, and I'm going to stick it right smack in the middle of all those soothsayers. There is no way possible for an individual or a nation to have God's favor who does not fear Him. Isaiah 8, verse 13, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear. And let Him be your dread." You're still trying to tell me that God wants me to be fearful and to walk around dreadful? That's what He said. You read the writings of the Apostle Paul, "Put away from you all foolishness, all jesting, all things which are not convenient. Foolish thoughts, foolish actions, foolish words that are not valuable." Why, I can do it and get by. We can't. Every man's going to give an account of every idle word. Just an idle word. You know what a car sitting on a rolling, just idling, it ain't going nowhere. You got that idling tongue, you ain't going nowhere. It's idle. But you're still burning up gas, aren't you? Still tapping the power stores. God help us. Psalms 2, 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear. Look at this next part. And rejoice with trembling. Oh, we like to rejoice. But you better make sure you're in the right position with God when you do it. Rejoice! Rejoice! Yeah, but you better do it with trembling. You let that first hallelujah come out, you better sort of check it out and make sure it's acceptable. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye persist or perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, that's still the same scripture, I just put the rest of it there. Isn't it remarkable the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When's the last time you trembled in the presence of God? Oh, I don't care if you don't get excited with me this afternoon. It makes no difference. I'd rather see you start shaking than you'll see. It wouldn't bother me. In fact, I'm hoping that the Spirit of God hits me so hard that I stand here and start trembling in the presence of God, watching every word that comes out of my mouth. Make sure they're right on with what God wants coming out of there. He didn't mean that, huh? Work out your own salvation. I thought it was free. Yeah, it was. He gave it to you. It's free. You got it now, but now you're responsible for it. And how should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Why, most people don't even work at it, let alone work in it out. That would solve your problems, Rick. All those fleshly problems you young folk have, fear God, that'll solve your problems. All those secret things you do, you recognize he's standing right there watching you do it. That'll solve a lot of your problems. Why, the world knows that. You light up a building, the chance of a robber or a thief breaking in is diminished. Keep something where out there where the thief can't do it in secret. He's still a thief now. But he won't come out and break that house too quick. He's got a big old shotgun inside pointing at his head. He's still a thief now. He ain't going to come on in there. He'll find some place that he can come in without taking that risk. Praise the Lord. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified. Wonderful, isn't that wonderful? They had rest. They finally had some peace in the churches. And while they had peace, they were being edified. How did this come about? Because they were walking in the fear of the Lord. Psalms 119, verse 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I am afraid of thy judgments. Every man must stand the judgment seat of Christ. Suppose it was today. Don't let these modern day preachers make you understand that just because you have come to Christ and you so-called repent of your sin, you just say, I believe on Christ, that you can now stand at the judgment. It's like I mentioned the last time I was over in Kingdom Ministry. If you are intending to go in that rapture, it's going to take a lot more holiness to go in the rapture than it is to go through the tribulation. Only a select group of people are going to be in that rapture. Only the pure in the heart. God's going to try that. He's not going to try you to see whether you're pure after you're in the rapture. He's going to try you before. from the fires of tribulation. Oh, we hear the answer today. I don't fear God. I love Him. And of course, I loved my daddy, too. I did. Well, I was afraid of him. And somehow he, and my mama, too. Somehow my mama and my daddy was able to get me to do things. My mother put my brother's hand, she caught him with cigarettes, she put his hand in a fire. We had the old wood stove. She called all the boys around, and she said, "Now, you want fire in your hand? I'll give you some." She just took his hand, stuck it right down in the coals like that, and held it there for about 10 seconds. "Did it burn? Sure it burned! Did it blister? Uh-huh! And I saw it burn, and I saw it blister, and I never smoked a cigarette." That didn't make me not love her. I loved my mama to the day she died. Sure did. I used to still hug her and kiss her, but I never smoked cigarettes. The early church walk in the fear of God and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Obadiah, that great man of God in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 3 says, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Isn't that something these great men of God had? How did they accomplish what they accomplished? Through the fear of the Lord. Psalms 119:63, remarkable verse of scripture. "I am a companion of all them that fear me." I get along with these kind of folk that fear God. How about you? You like to be around people who fear God? Hey, watch what you're saying. Be careful where you go. We need that, don't we? Now, you people ought to have enough sense to know that preachers do not preach sermons all the time that they have mastered. It's the preaching of the word that we preach that edifies your soul, that also edifies us. David Wilkerson said under his message, "The Redeemer has come to Israel," speaking almost on the same subject I'm talking about, only using a different approach, by standing in the awful presence or awesome presence of God. And he talked about preachers being transformed by the gospel they preach. They preach a certain gospel so long that it transforms them, as well as the people who hear them. So a wise man finds what's truth even if he don't measure up to it. And he preaches it, and preaches it, and preaches it, and preaches it, until it transforms him along with his hearers. So I've worked on this one twice, and I'll hang with it for a while. Proverbs 16:6, "Be merciful, and by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." Pretty good, huh? Remarkable verse of scripture in Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Moses says, fear not. That's the way he starts that. Fear not. Isn't that nice? You say, "Brother T, you're telling us to fear." And here comes Moses saying, "Fear not." Well, Jesus said that too, didn't he? He said, "Fear not him who destroys the body, but fear him." He didn't tell you not to fear now. He just told you to get it right. Moses says, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you that, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." Oh, look at that. Come on, folks. Don't be afraid to come into God's presence. Come on. Come on in. Fear not. Come on. Now let God do his thing on you. So when he gets done, you will fear him, and you won't go out and do that. Come on into the presence of God. Come on into the tabernacle of God. So God can show you that you better fear him. The strongest Human emotion is fear, believe it or not. It's stronger than love. First of all, love, there is no human love. God is love and he's not human. So there is no human love. Love is of God, not of human. So most of the emotion that we call love is really fear. The strongest of all godly virtues is fear. Godly fear versus the human fear. Somebody say, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The only way you can do it. I don't know. You know, this I ain't even one tenth done. And I'm going to stop looking at y'all faces. Because I'm going to preach this whole sermon till I get done. You understand? Now, if you don't want to hear it, your doors open up. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not picking on nobody. Really, I'm not. Perfecting holiness. Most of us don't even believe you can attain holiness or perfection. And here he puts them both in the same place, perfection and holiness. Perfected holiness. A holiness that's perfected. Somebody says, Brother Sterrell, that's just impossible. Brother and sister, every one of us enjoyed the honeymoon when our love for our companions was perfect. If we had kept working at it, we could have kept the honeymoon. You got married and went on a honeymoon. If you did it like you should have done, you forgot about everything else. Concentrated on each other. But when you first got saved, you forgot everything else. You concentrated on the Lord, had your honeymoon, first love. It didn't make no difference what he asked you to do at that time. You'd have done it. Bless God. You loved him. You loved him. We left our first love. You haven't, but I did. Christian churches I know have. Most Christians I know have left their first love. What motivates Christians? There's nothing else can motivate you but love. What is the fear of the Lord? What, Buster, you're telling me the fear of God? What is it? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It's to hate pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 8:13. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I don't understand. I don't understand. That's all we hear anymore. A lack of understanding. Well, fear God and he'll give you the knowledge of his understanding. Why do I have to do this? He'll make you understand why. Proverbs 9:10, that was the first verse. Well, now, Brother Stair, I heard the preacher say perfect love casts out fear. And there's no fear in love. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Yeah, sure. I mean, you take three or four little scriptures that talks about tormenting fear. Ungodly fear. On spiritual fear that we're not supposed to have. And those scriptures you take and you enlarge on them and then you ignore all the others that talks about the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't even know nothing. Fear God. Dumb, ignorant fool. That's what you are. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 7:1-7. Romans 8:5-8:15 says, he will deliver us from all fears. Excuse me. For he have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we find that God has delivered us from all fear except the fear of God. And the fear of God is not torment. I'm not talking about torment or about fearing Him. I'm going to show you a point that's really remarkable when I get to it in a minute. I brought this out the other night and some of the people got a little bit disturbed with me, but I was there. Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. Now the reason I read that verse of scripture is because the Bible, when it's talking about fearing God, it's not talking about reverencing God. It's talking about fearing God, being afraid of God. And that verse shows you the difference. Let's go through it again. Hebrews 12, 28, 29. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Not going to change. Now the laws of the kingdom are not going to change, and none but the righteous, no unclean thing, going to walk down them highways, honey. Can't be moved. It's not going to be changed for the modern day Christians who want to slip in there. Let us have grace, because His grace is sufficient. It will teach us that by denying ungodliness, well, all you people's faces are really stuffed, I tell you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're beautiful today. You really are. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable. You mean it's possible to serve God unacceptable? That God does not receive your service? But I'm serving the Lord. Well, but is it acceptable? I'm living for God. But is it acceptable? Well, I do good things. But is it acceptable? Only under the rules. Everybody can run in a race. But if you run and break the rules, you disqualify. You might win first. You might beat everybody by half a mile. But if you broke the rules, you disqualify. You might have run the fastest, and legitimately so, but you stepped out of bounds. May have been the fastest runner, the surest of foot. But if you stepped out of bounds or you bumped somebody in another lane, you have broken the rules. You do not win. A lot of us are running this old race. We're breaking the rules. Praise the Lord. Whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. You better be building upon good foundation. That building over there, everything burned but the stone. It ain't too strong now either. You got a bunch of wood, stubble, in your little house, because you burn up. There is a difference between reverence and fear. No question about it. Even Jesus feared. This is the one I got the preachers upset with the other day. I was amazed when I read this one. Hebrews 5, verses 5 to 8. God talking to the Apostle Paul. Thou art my son. Talking about Jesus. Today have I begotten thee. The only begotten son of God. Jesus. Who in the days of his flesh, when he lived on earth, when he had offered up prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane and supplications in the Garden of Gethsemane with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. God, save me. Don't make me die. Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to go through this. That's the way he was praying. It wasn't honorable. He almost blew it. And all of a sudden, the fear of God got a hold of him. And he cried out, oh
mouth with the fear of God. Father's sitting up there looking down at him saying, boy, what are you doing? Because of your little old pity flesh, you went off the hook. He feared. It says, read it. It's right there. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, which was the Father, and was heard. God heard him. In that he feared. Feared God. If he wouldn't have, he never would have died for you. It was not the love of Christ that sent him to Calvary. It was the fear of God. His old flesh wanted out. It's like yours does. Some of you right now wish you never came. You went out. But you ought to just fear God and say, not my will. Time be done. The back door open. Who put the fear of God upon Jesus? By the Holy Ghost. One of the old prophets cried over here, I believe it was in the book of Malachi. Wasn't it? There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, who was David's father, and a branch, as Jesus Christ, shall grow out of his roots, who was David, his father. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's what Matthew said. Did Jesus say in Matthew 3:13, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me? Did he say that? So he's talking about Jesus here. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Now I'm reading from Isaiah 11, 1 to 3. You'll find those basic statements there. But the point is that Isaiah prophesied that Christ would be operating under the fear of the Lord. He would be doing what he did. Boy, now we know he had no foolishness, don't we? Now we know why he almost blew it when he started, too, you know. 12-year-old snot-nosed kid, he almost blew it. 12-year-old kid in the temple, he's down there trying to teach all the big old big shots. Wasn't even ready for the job. Wasn't even time yet. Jumping the gun, almost like Moses a little bit. Come on. His mother found him and said, what are you doing, son? I've been looking for you for 3 days. And he sassed her, boy, sassed her right off. Wist he not that I must be about my father's business? Oh, that wasn't wrong. Read the whole scripture. Why'd you go home and read the verse after that when his mother finally pulled him by the ear and said, come on, get out of here. Don't you think Mary would have allowed him to stay right there and keep on doing what he was doing if he was doing the Father's business? She knew who he was. The angel that spoke to her, Holy Ghost had overshadowed her. Never had a man produce a child. She knew he was the Son of God. She didn't let that boy stay in that temple. Come on, boy, get out of here and get on out to that caravan. We're going home. The Bible said that he became in subjection to them. The way any 12-year-old boy ought to be. Well, I'm glad he got that straightened. Every world would use that for an example, wouldn't they?
I never saw it like that.
No, we're always dripping honey when we talk about Christ. We're always trying to make him everything look like it was just perfect. He was having a human battle. He was fighting with flesh. He was wrestling against the principalities and powers of darkness. Come on, people. He had to subdue the enemy in his flesh. Couldn't say he sinned. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. But who may abide the day of his coming? Coming of Christ. And who shall stand when he appeareth? Why, everybody. They're right.
Everybody going to be here. Praise the Lord.
Hello. Why, we belong to the Baptist church, or the Methodist church, or the Holy church, and we go to church, we're all right. Isn't that right? Most of you, stay in them churches, you're going to go to hell. You better get out of them. I mean out. They're blind, leading blind. And if you keep following them, you're blind. And you're going to fall in the ditch. Ain't no Methodist going to heaven. No Baptist going to heaven. No Church of God folk going to heaven. No Pentecostal holiness going to heaven. No white folk, no black folk, only holy people. None but the righteous shall see God. You mess around with people who don't believe in the standards of righteousness and holiness, and you have no right being there. What fellowship hath light with darkness? Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Then I will receive you.
Well, we ain't got no place to go.
What do you call this? Where do you think we sweat and struggle and sacrifice to erect this from? Dopen! So the people in this community can come out of these dead, dry churches and going to damn their soul in hell. Well, I don't like you, Brother Stair. Big deal! Nobody likes you either sometimes. But I love you enough to warn you. Love you enough to say you can't keep walking in that wind. Goodbye. Hang with these churches of dead.
You ain't got nobody over here. Well, you're here. I'm here.
Who cares? Last Sunday afternoon, I had one of the best services I ever had in my life. Walked into my tent with nobody. I started to preach. Finally, in walked two people. Amazed. Man, when I got done, he said, boy, I never seen anybody do that. You started having services, there's nobody there. You started preaching. Started preaching. Why did I do that? Because God said, preach! He told me that lesson years ago, and he told me to go preach on a street corner. It'll solve your problem. Every one of you ought to preach on a street corner. At least once. Especially you young men, at least once. Yeah, your knees are knocked, and your teeth are chatter. Your heart will beat fast. It'll teach you some things. These preachers have never been on a street corner. Tell me. Never. I'm going to put the frosting on the cake. You're not being misused or abused. Payday's coming. So submit yourself. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Oh, how true.
Well, the people said this. I'm worried what the folks say, you know. You know, they might talk about me.
But we fear them, and it brings a snare. Jesus said, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Remember King Saul? 7 feet tall? Stood head and shoulders above all the other men of Israel, hand-picked by God, chosen by a holy prophet, sent out to do a holy duty, didn't obey. Samuel walked up to him and said, what did you do? Here's what he said. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy word. Why did you do that? Why would you do that, Saul? Because I feared the people. And I obeyed their voice. What God said about that, Saul? Great prophet said, boy, if I had to have a man praying for the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. And here's Samuel on his face saying, God, spare Saul. My God, forgive him. God says, shut up, boy. Don't you pray for him. Not, don't you dare ask me to save him. I have rejected that man-fearing rascal. You don't fear him. God can tell you got cancer, you fear that. Tell you got heart trouble, that you fear. That you fear. Long come and say they're going to take your car away. You fear that. They'll take your house away. You, that you fear.
God said, have faith in God. You don't fear him enough to do it. Hebrews 2:14-15. Listen to this.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he, Christ, might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Think about it. If you fear God, death can't touch you. Because Christ conquered death for every man. And when death comes to you, you walk in the fear of God. Oh, death's been in his presence already. Look at this. Revelation 2:10. Look at it now. Death, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Oh,
I can't believe that verse is in there.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. But you may be tried. You shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. I'll give you the crown of life. Why? First Samuel 16:14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the... Remember the parable? Talent, I think it was. The one with the one talent said, Lord, I knew thee. Did you know him? Do you know the Lord? Is that what you tell people? I know the Lord. Come on, look at somebody like that. I know him. What do you know about him? This man knew something about him. He said, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went out and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. I'm giving it back to you, Lord. Cast ye that. Why would you do that? It's because you knew. Because you knew I was a hard man. And you knew that. Yeah. You say, well, I didn't know that, brother. Well, you know it now because I'm telling you. Hard. You go back to any old family that survived depressions and tribulations, and you will find hard parents who drove their kids. And most every kid would look back and thank God for those kind of parents. We all believe God, and we all like that, don't we? Huh? It was a count unto him. He became a righteous man, or was a righteous man. But it was because of fear that he believed God. Why did he doubt God? Because he feared him. God said, have faith in God. You wouldn't doubt God again if you had to fear God. You wouldn't dare call him a liar if you feared him, would you? Hey, I never called my daddy a liar. Even when I thought he was wrong. I am the Lord that healeth you. Well, I don't believe that. By grace are you saved. Well, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, but that grace teaches you to keep an eye on godliness. It's sufficient. Not only does it save you, it'll keep you saved. It is sufficient. It is sufficient. Yes, it is. Job 28:12. But where shall wisdom be found? See, the fear of the Lord, Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Job cries out, but where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof. Neither is it found in the land of the living. The depths say, it's not in me. Ain't no sense looking in the ocean. Ain't no sense looking in space. Not up there. And ain't gonna find it. The Death saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it is not in me. It cannot be gotten for gold. Can't buy it. Whence then cometh wisdom? How can I get wisdom? And what was it that Mike told us wisdom was the other night? Wisdom. Huh? What did he say wisdom was in a pretty good definition? Come on, y'all folks said he's another man preach. What you know? Wisdom is when you understand what you know. Pretty good. Childish definition, but pretty good. Not a deep definition, but it's good enough for insubordinates like me. You know, we all know a lot, but we don't understand it, do we? Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is that place of understanding? For he looketh to the end of the earth, God does, and he seeth under the whole heavens, can't find it. Not in the sea, not in the space, not in the gold. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. Boy, isn't God good? He answered it for you. I'll have to go to school and learn it now, will you? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Despise wisdom and instruction. Church full of fools, isn't it? Let us see, a wise son receives instruction, the proverb says. Professing himself to be wise, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worship and serve the creature more than the creator. I'm trying to tell you that we're going to have to seek God for that fear. We're just not going to measure up without it. We're just not going to do it. Love will not help us do it. Love is not strong enough. Christ was love, but it wasn't strong enough. It was not the love that sent Christ to Calvary. It was the fear of God. I'm still getting that across to you. Do you understand that? It was not God's love that paid the price for your sins. It was his hatred for sin. He hated sin so much, he only loved you, but he couldn't. As much as he loved you, he couldn't allow you in his presence. As much as God loved you, he couldn't allow you to stand in his presence with sin. So he paid the price so you can be free from sin. Free! So you can stand in his presence. God rejects people who do not fear. Look at Ananias. A man outside the covenant. An angel came down to that poor old guy. When he went to Peter in Acts 10:34-35, then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons now. He's no respecter of persons. He loves everybody. He does, but he does not accept everybody. Listen to this. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, black, white, wherever you're from, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable unto him. Not just everybody. He's no respecter of persons. He don't care what your background is, what the color of your skin is, but he does care whether you work righteousness and whether you fear him. And if you don't fear him or work right, you're going to go to hell. Isaiah 66:2. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Are you trembling this afternoon? Or are you getting mad at me? And go out here and say, oh, he's hard again. Yes, and because you know he's hard. Trembleth. Trembleth! Look at this. 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on the Father, don't you? Who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. pass the time of your sojourning here in fear.
You talk to God. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the days long. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Praise God. I'll have a good time. I just pray that he helps me to fear. The prophet cried out in Isaiah, Psalms chapter 34 and 11. By the way, David was a prophet. Some don't believe it, but he was. Jesus called him a prophet.
Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. See, the Bible says the last days they won't endure sound doctrine. They will teach themselves teachers having itching ears. And these teachers aren't teaching you to fear God. They're not teaching you to shun sin and flee youthful lust and sanctify the Lord God in your heart and submit yourself. Oh, praise the Lord, we're all free. But David said, come, children, I'll teach you what you need to know. The fear of God. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. That put darkness for light, light for darkness, bitter for sweet. See, that's absolute. Modern generation don't believe in absolutes anymore. Something that's always wrong, always will be wrong. There is never any circumstance to make wrong right. Something that's right and will always be right, and there ain't nothing that can destroy right. It is right for men to live holy. It is right for men to serve God with a whole heart. It is right to dress properly, to hold yourself in a godly manner, to use a holy conversation. It is right. It will never be wrong to do it. And it's wrong not to do it. I talked to these women today about dressing. Talks about dressing like holy women. Get up and say they love God and look like whores off the street.
God don't care what you wear.
Oh, Adam had no sense to know that first time he met God. Adam, God never even said to Adam, put on clothes. Never did. Oh, he wouldn't walk out in the presence of God without being covered. First thing he did was cover himself. The known fact, you go to a foreign country, you get somebody staged, the first thing he did was those heathens, he covered himself. They run the whole life around with no clothes on. I mean, all the time, grown folk. Get them saved and watch them right away. Except the heathens and the body of the temple of the Holy Ghost and go out and show it off.
Look at me. Look at how pretty I look. Want some?
Malachi 2:5-8. Talk about preachers, you know, ministers who won't hold. My covenant was with him, the minister, the Levi, of life and peace. I gave them to him for that fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity or rebellion was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from iniquity. These old-time preachers knew they had the word of a holy God in their mouths. We often talk about old-time conviction. This generation knows nothing about it. Most people can say today, you gotta convince them. You gotta reason with them. You gotta show them, hey, look, if you can say things would be better for you. You sinned against God, you wretched soul! You don't even deserve what you have now! No fear of God for before their eyes. Stumble at the word of God. Can't even tell folk what to do anymore. They don't want to get quit buying on credit. Quit going to the doctors. I said it so much. The truck cost me $1,600, $1,700.
got to have cash on the barrel head. And all I did was just say, get the truck. Told the man when I'd get it. Told him I'd get back home, I'll have the money. I gave home on Wednesday. On Saturday, God sent me the money. Every single dime, plus a little extra.
Oh, well, Brother Stan, you know that do that for you, you know. How many times do you find somebody send you $2,150?
I wouldn't mind having one of those every week, but I don't get them very often. Something you provide for. Don't just let it go. And I want it. It might be true. Because God wants you to want it. I told you I was going to finish this sermon this afternoon. I'm under the anointing. Somebody said, I don't believe you're under the anointing. I am. I'm under the anointing. Remarkable! Psalms 34:7, a scripture we all love. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. See, you go prancing down. Oh, doesn't the Lord got his angels watching over me? Oh, praise the Lord. Honey. That ain't what it says. Well, I go to church now. I'm a Christian. And the Lord, he got his angels camping all around about me. They camp around those that fear God. Put it down. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord campeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Who? Fear God!
You see, somebody says to me, but I can't do that. It's remarkable how God gives us commandments. He says, love your enemy. He didn't say, I won't give you the love. He didn't say that. He says, fear God. He didn't say, I won't give it to you. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. And if you don't assume that responsibility, he gives you many causes to fear him.
Oh, you've experienced his chastising hand already. You've experienced the sternness of his concern for you. Yes, you have. But a few days later, you soon forget.
Somebody says, ain't nobody knows anything. Well, that's true. Not too many know.
Psalm 25:12-14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So now we know how to find out his secrets, don't we? Now we know how to solve all of our little things we don't know the answer to. I
think that whole verse reads, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Yeah, read that again. Isn't that good? Psalms 25:12-14.
What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. God. His soul shall dwell in ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. For the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant.
19, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine.
Oh. You ever see such remarkable promises for people who fear God? You ever see anything like that? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, there's so many scriptures. I've got so many here. Take Abraham. What a remarkable example. He's almost 100 years old when God finally appeared to him and said, your wife Sarah's going to have that son, I promise you. 100 years the man waited for the promise. About 12 years later, after the boy was born, God woke him up one night and said, take your son, Abram.
take your son Isaac, your only son. You go to Mount Moriah and you offer him as a sacrifice. What kind of man was that? And he did it. Packed up his son, went to Mount Moriah, built an altar, laid Isaac on it, all bound up, pulled back the knife, and started to plunge. And God stopped. Look at this. Abraham! Abraham! Oh, he had the knife in his hand. Abraham! Abraham! And he said, I'm here. I'm doing what you told me to do. Thank you, God. Did I miss something? He was getting ready to kill his son. He heard the voice of God. Abraham! Abraham! I'm here. Just like you told me. I'm doing what you told me. I'm doing it right. Did I miss something? Did I displease you? God, hear me! And God said, lay not your hand on that boy. Whatever you say, neither do any harm unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son. Good at dramatics, because that is some point there that I raises my soul. In the middle of the night, Abraham gets up and carries that boy up to that mountain, shunning his wife. He never told Sarah. He knew that wouldn't go down at all. No way he's going to convince Sarah that he can kill that boy. No way. So he just ignores Sarah. Then he gets to the foot of the mountain and he sends his servants away because he's afraid they might even get in the way. You stay here, we're going up to the top of the mountain. And he starts up there and his son says, we have the wood, we have the fire. Where's the sacrifice? He said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Isn't it remarkable? What a word of faith. He gets up and he ties up Isaac and he puts him on the altar. He pulls back his hand and he's ready to plunge. And the voice of heaven comes out of God, out of heaven, Abram! Abram! And he's trembling at the presence of God. He's already there doing what God told me. He thought, did I do something wrong? I know you hear me. Any man who put a knife in his own bosom of his only child. Ocala went off the fast a few days and only stayed a couple of years. God said to him, don't you expect miracles in your home until you put your foot down. And your wife run the house, and your kids run the house. He flat went home and said, look, you're going to serve God in this house or I'm out of it. He left. Wife wanted nothing to do with it. It didn't take long, just a few days of showing he meant business. Now she's in church with him. Now she's not completely changed. See, God told me very clearly. Oh, we love Job. Oh, God save thee. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Oh, we love it. Job 1 and 1. There was a man who was perfect and upright. One that feared God and hated or shewed evil. Watch the Christians run out into the rice festival, to the carnival. Today, think that our tour guide, Lu Mei, in China, saw from us right away was that all the great attractions of China had no attraction to us. You are not enjoying this, she said. You really don't want to be here. You're right, ma'am. This is not what we came here for. Shopping. Now, your sisters love to go into the stores and shop. Hell all around you. Instead of going in and get what you need and get out of there. Hate it. Hate it. Mike and I walked into the church Sunday morning to go. Boy, they were praising God. And I just walked up and said, this ain't
God ain't here. And all morning I just said that I refused to participate. I mean, they were praising the Lord and howling, thank you, Jesus, singing, He is Lord, and holy, 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 praise church, glorifying God. Women dressed like whores, painted up like Cupid dolls. Not one stern rebuke. Not one reprimand. Not one voice of judgment. You're all blessed. Praise the Lord. God loves you. Amen. On their way to hell from the house of God. The preacher not even... I warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Your church membership is no good. You won't even get you into the... I've been a Baptist and a Methodist all my life. Well, Baptists and Methodists are going to hell. You better get saved. I've been Assembly of God and Church of God all my life. They're all going to hell. You better get saved. One body. One nation. No divisions. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We also talk about Paul, don't we? Oh, knew all about God. Sure I did. He's now the Pharisee of the Pharisee. A tribe of Benjamin, the seed of David. An Israelite. Did nothing. One day he's riding along an old mule down the road. Went out of heaven. Saul! I think that voice came out. Saul! Saul! Voice thundered out of heaven. Saul! Saul! Why persecutest thou me? Pow! Just who do you think you are? Step along with that voice, but he saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. Who are you? He didn't even know him. Read all about the Messiah, but didn't even know him. Why, well, I'm Jesus, of Nazareth, whom you persecute. Boy, his knees begin to... What would you have me to do? You have to discuss no theology with him, did you? You don't have to make him understand it, do you? You just go to the next city, and you just wait there till I send somebody to tell you what to do.
Get that?
Don't go home. Don't go to Western Sizzler, McDonald's. Just get over there in that little house and sit right there. And then I'm going to fix it. You can't see nothing.
Well, that's kind of tough God, ain't it? Acts 4 verses 9 verses 4 and 6. And he trembled and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, how many times do you hear them talk about that first part? What Paul said, he said, Lord, what would you have? Just like he was so glad to do it. Come on. Well, what would you have me to do, Jesus? But you know, you made yourself known to me now, and I know you're alive and you ain't really dead. What would you have me to do? Wasn't like that at all, was it? And he went and said, he trembled. Oh, just got one before I go any face in it. Well, what he was. In your Bible, read it.
Read it! Hey, trembled!
When he got done getting right with God, boy, would he preach others' things?
Yes, they did, boy. It
says over here in Acts 24:25, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and Felix trembled! You think I'm hard, huh? You ain't trembling yet. Ain't nobody here doing ain't trembling yet. You haven't got hard enough. In one of his most blessed hours in the Philippian jail, when he sang praises and prayed, God shook the prison and unshackled him. He stood up boldly right in the prison, and the bars of the jailer came in trembling. What must I do? He said, Frank, you got to get like that. Three corner of that jail, you preach like that, boy, hell. Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, give him glory, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. You understand who you're dealing with?
Brother Stare.
friends. We have disgraced God. We have marred His beautiful creation. We have made Him look less than God. He's got to vindicate Himself.